Hi, it's Jerry Green of Rogers TV, the play-by-play voice for the Moncton Wildcats. You're listening to the Wildcat Podcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome back to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats. I am Adam, I am your host, and I am joined always by my co-host, Mr. Jeremy Boucher. How are you, sir? Welcome back.
Hello, listeners. Hello, Adam. I am doing well. Sorry, I had to turn my phones down.
No worries.
Unnecessary interruptions here, but yeah, things
all are those breaking insider news.
Oh yes, that's right. So there's so much going on in the league right now. Yeah, things are good, and you know, hopefully, starting my diet here soon if I can get past the Burger Fest.
As soon as you said starting diet, I was like, all right, well, I guess you're going to start it after Burger Week. What are we up to? What are the dates or what are the amounts you're at?
I'm at two so far. I went to the St. Louis Bar and Grill.
Yep.
They have a burger, which is basically the burger patty and deep fried pepperoni, marinara sauce.
Oh, the brothers one or whatever it's called? Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't very impressed with it. Mm. And the Sports Rock one, which is just basically like
Sports Rock Dieppe or Mountain Road?
Mountain Road.
Oh, okay.
Which is just another disappointment considering, you know, when Burger Fest first came around, you know, 2 years ago, Sports Rock had the Homer, and it was, you know, two Honey Cruller donuts acted as the buns, and then it was just burger, bacon, cheese. And it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because you only get the sweetness of the buns and the saltiness of the bacon, kind of, you know, the work together. And then last year they had like a huge one that had like chili on it, and it was topped with a chicken wing. And so this year they came out with one that's just, you know, burgers and the burger and a bunch of mushrooms and on it, different types of mushrooms. I'm not a big mushroom guy, so I wasn't a big fan of that one either. So hopefully I'm trying to get through five, because if you make it through five,
yep,
you get entered to win a nice new TV. So I'm trying to get my five stamps. I'm trying to get to Mavericks. Apparently has a really good one. Pump House
is, so obviously those of know the situation. Both our families were here, so Layla's brothers went out, and we went out for a restaurant at Bocce there, just up the street from us. And her one brother had I can't remember what the name was, but he had it fairly big. He said it was good. They went to the Pump House the next day. They had the Heart Stopper. They had to walk home from the Pump House. They didn't want to ride. They wanted to walk it off. They had mentioned that they didn't. They felt cheated because they didn't have the pulled pork on it. But we went to the Pump House the next night with everyone, and he told us that the pulled pork is actually mixed into the mac and cheese. So, and then Layla had the one at the mall, Guacamole.
Right.
The big, whatever it's called.
If that's even considered a burger.
Yeah, I was a little, she's like, I'm going to have the burger of the week. I'm like, they have burgers? And it was just a big wrap.
Yeah.
It was huge.
There's a few out there that are sad excuses for burgers.
Right.
That being one of them. where's the other one? Big leagues. The Avenir Centers.
It just looks like a fancy
sandwich.
Yeah.
Like a focaccia bread.
Yeah.
Focaccia, whatever it's called.
Focaccia. Focaccia bread.
And the one at Big Leagues, you know, considering your restaurant name is Big Leagues Burgers and Wings.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd have something, you know, extravagant, but theirs is just basically like a donair.
You feel it's maybe losing its luster? Like it's not as big as it. And I don't know how long this thing's been going on, but
it's the third year. So
yeah, I'm just wondering if the third year everybody went big and now it's like, meh, you know. So people are just making burgers and
It's just kind of a. There's a few that are, you know, sad excuses for burgers, and why are you even in Burger Fest? No offense to Calactus, I understand you're a vegetarian restaurant, but you know, a beet burger. Come on.
Yeah.
If you're gonna, if Galactus is gonna enter Burger Fest, just put their big mark, their big, I think it's the Big Mark burger. It's the burger that's always on their menu.
Mm-hmm.
That's phenomenal. It's, even though it's vegetarian, still one of the best burgers I've ever had. Don't come out with something new. Just, you know, stick with, keep it simple. yeah. So, right. Yeah, Pump House is on my to-go list. Mavericks. And just for the hell of it, I'll probably eat the Avenir Center one this Friday night. So we'll see what happens.
All right. So there's
Saturday night.
There's your early food update for all those wondering about the other restaurant that opened up. Stay tuned. All right. So quick question. Just threw this together on the fly just as we were getting ready to go. Now that every player has played that's been acquired at the deadline, who have you been most impressed with? Gru's got 12 points in 7 games with Moncton. Forche's got 8 and 6. Leonard's got 2 and 6. McLennan's only played 1. And McIsaac's played 3 with 2 points. So your favorite out of that group?
I think it's...
Oh, and DLC is 3 and 3.
Right. I think it's Gru. And I, you know, I think Forche's, you know, still trying to fit in a little bit. I think he's, you know, I know he had a couple goals there in St. John, but I think he's kind of just starting to get into his groove here with Moncton. He's going to start to put up the points, but I mean, since the trade deadline, it's got to be Bo Gru. I mean, he's been, you know, the Wildcats have named him, you know, player of the week for 2 weeks in a row now, so.
Sorry. And rightfully so.
Yeah. It's weird to, it'd be strange to really go against that.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to buddy on the boards who has said that Jared McIsaac hasn't impressed him. I'm like, all right, well, what does he have to do to impress you? He's been pretty.
You waiting for him to put up offensive numbers? Yeah. Because that's not his style. He's
strange. Very, very, very strange. But yeah, I got to go with Bo Gru.
I will echo that. McIsaac's been good, and he's been exactly what, you know, he was advertised, big minute log in defenseman. He had a beautiful goal on Friday against St. John. But yeah, I mean, Boger's done everything that we expected of him, taking, seems like almost every face off. He's in every situation. So it's easily Boger. And the honorable mention would be Dakota Long Cornish. You know, going 3 and 3 in the 6 games he got, kind of kept his team afloat, kept the fans away from the oh my god, the sky is falling more than it was before the deadline, but he kind of eased those and kept this team afloat and gave this crew a chance to win every night he was in the net. So all right, well, no show last week for obvious reasons. So if you quickly go back to those two during Timbits weekend, Baie-Comeau was absolutely a tire fire. Losing 5-2 to the Drakkar, getting outplayed in every aspect, getting outwilled in every aspect, just wasn't good. And then Cape Breton, McIsaac made his debut, and it was the team that everybody expected to be here and roll over everyone all year long.
Yeah, you know, that they're missing, you know, they didn't have Rodrigue starting that game against Baie-Comeau. They didn't have McIsaac. They didn't have Ivanov.
Rodrigue was the backup, which right. was a little shocking.
Yeah, I'll partially take blame for that loss because I think I made some sort of a comment on that show, something
your feet right game.
Well, I said basically,
I said get your feet wet.
I said something about how if Baie-Comeau scores an early one, we've got the lineup to punch him in the throat or something like that.
Yeah,
I think that was my exact words. So I'll probably take the. And he'll take the heat for that loss. Kind of like how we said last year about the whole road trip thing.
And
came to bite us back, you know, bite us in the ass. So I'll take the heat for that loss.
I'll share that with you because I said that was going to be a perfect game for him to get a get right game, get his feet wet, get ready for a tougher test against Cape Breton. And it just, I don't know about you, but I just find this team, they're going to play way up to the competition with the Cape Bretons, the Rimouskis, the Sherbrookes, and they're going to play to the level of the Bathursts and the Baie-Comeaus.
Yeah, because they
not that they're not good, but standings wise, they're going to play down to the competition, right?
We'll see those games as points games and you know, try to get too cute.
Yeah.
And you know, when you get too cute, you're going to make mistakes. And, so that's, you know, clearly what they're, what we've seen. And, you know, they just stick against the, you know, superior opponents. They'll, you know, stick to their game plan and, you know, basically show the rest of the league what this team is capable of doing.
The Drakkar weren't going to let Forche, even though he had two goals against him, the only two goals. There's no doubt they wanted to win that one. So bringing us up currently, we're 30-12 for 60 points. Second in the East, still first in the Maritimes division. I think we got a 5-point lead, which would, funny enough, give us a first round playoff matchup against the Sea Dogs if it happened today. So this past weekend wasn't a rivalry weekend, but it was the New Brunswick rivalry. Home and home against the Sea Dogs. Once again, both games just what, 100 shots for Zach? Like, it was his show.
It was his show, but at the end of the day, still got both wins.
Yep.
And I think it's, I mean, he could, you know, he could make 94 saves a game, but, you know, still let in six. So it's, you know, that's kind of what we're seeing from him. And before we started recording, I said to you, Adam, I said, you know, he's one of two goalies who I'm excited to see leave.
Yeah. And the other one is 73 in Charlottetown.
Matt Welsh. Yeah. So him, Matt Welsh and Zach Boudely are, you know, two goalies who I'm kind of excited to see graduate. But yeah, he's been phenomenal. You know, fortunately that game, was it Friday night?
The one at home?
Yeah. Friday night. Yeah. I think it was, I don't know what, yeah, they're obviously playing down to their opponents. And you know, that could have been a totally different game. But you know what, that's, you know, why we made some of these moves is to, you know, get these players who game breakers, as you know, they like to call them in sports and in hockey in general. And you know, that Mikhaizek goal was quite something.
Yeah,
I thought maybe it would have been a you know, highlight of the night candidate, but apparently not. And
I was talking to Sanderson, who had the call for Sea Dogs after the game, and I said, this was right smack dab in the middle, and I think I texted you and Chris, smack dab right in the middle of the weekend before, during tournament's weekend. It wasn't bad like Baie-Comeau. It wasn't great. It was right in the middle, and they just did enough to win.
Mm-hmm.
But like Neil had in his article, I think yesterday, the team played uncharacteristically a lot of penalties, and they're going to have to clean that up because they gave the Sea Dogs four penalties on Friday and seven power play opportunities on Saturday. And you can't be giving up 11 power play chances against better teams. So you have to get that fixed. And as much as we've given the praise to the kid for keeping it in check, something's not quite clicking with Hovanov. And Pelche's doing everything he can to keep him under control. But I think Saturday he had two unsportsmanlike conducts. He had one on Saturday. One on Friday. They got him a 10-minute misconduct. Like, Halifax or St. John is taking from a piece of the page from what Halifax did last year.
Mm-hmm.
You get under his skin, and he's done. Essentially, he's done. And I don't know how you fix that other than, I don't know, maybe put him up in the booth for a game.
No, I wouldn't go that far. Put a leash on him, really. Just really,
but how do you put a leash on him though? It's
get
pretty hard to
get. What's it, Robertson from Mighty Ducks with his rope?
yeah, that's one way.
You know, just have somebody, you know, skate around with a rope and on the ice, and just
I just say up in the press box, only because the Val d'Or game, Torchetti sat him for that third period, and it seemed to click with him. He's had three unsportsmanlikes in two games. Maybe a night off watching from up top. I don't know, right?
I think it's too valuable to the team to do that, but
yeah.
You have to wonder, you know, he's racking up these misconducts, these 10-minute misconducts, and I don't know if there's a rule that if you get so many, you get an automatic suspension. But you have to wonder if that's something the league's going to implement here, because, you know, there's players in the league that, you know, clearly have, not a level head. And no, that's not saying anything about Ivanov. It's, clearly, you know, some players have the ability to get under other players' skin and cause them to, you know, do things that they will probably regret after they do it. But you just have to think if it's, you know, if there is a rule or if there will be eventually one where, you know, if a certain player takes so many misconducts, it's an automatic suspension. Because he's probably got, I can't count how many 10-minute misconducts he's had so far this year. It's got to be at least double digits. That'll be interesting to follow. There's some players right now that obviously need to get their ass in gear, and that's, you know, McKinnon and Pelche. They haven't necessarily done or played the way they should be playing. Pelche, to me, doesn't seem like the same player since he got injured. Something's just not there.
Yep. An aggressive factor. Like, he's not as aggressive as he was. I think with McKinnon, I think a lot of people are just, you know, he got a lot of points last year, right, you know, on the power play. And I think teams are just moving over to him. And I think the Wildcats are still trying to get it to it because he's got the shot off that off wing. And if, it's just not working, guys are staying there, and which gets him frustrated.
I think it's just a case of, you know, he's got to, if he buries one, they're going to start coming again.
Kind of like Dao.
Yeah. speaking of him, holy crap. Something's got to give with these two guys, because, you know, they're obviously big parts of the team, and they have to get going. But also at the same time, you know, it's good that they're kind of in a bit of a rut right now, instead of, you know, in the playoffs where, you know, they're expected to be, you know, big players and big contributors. So if they're going to have a dry spell, it's good that it's now than, you know, in a couple months down the road.
And they're getting the wins.
Right? Yeah.
In spite of, you know, the old cliche, well, I don't care about personal points as long as we're winning the game. But
I think that's kind of that's obviously the main thing, right? Yeah. But it just seems so weird to think that, you know, McKenna was, I don't know how many games it was in a row, but he was held off the score sheet for 5 or 6 consecutive games, which, you know, was almost unheard of considering how, you know, how much of a, you know, important piece of the team he's been the past few years. And, you know, it's just refocus. Like, these weeks off are
good.
He
has not scored a goal in 2020.
Right. Like, yeah. That's very uncharacteristic.
That's very uncharacteristic, yeah.
And so it's good that, you know, they've got these weeks off where they can kind of get back in their groove. You know, hopefully this weekend they can, you know, find their touch and, you know, start hitting the score sheet again.
Do you think it's who he's playing with? He's been playing with Sear for, you know, for so long, and they had that such a connection that, you know, he's been taken off that line. He's playing with Bo Grew and Forche for most of the, since the deadline, but, you know, is it maybe that unfamiliarity factor that maybe try putting those two together again and with a Forche on the line and move Bo Grew up and see what happens? Like,
I wouldn't be against, you know, if these struggles continue, I wouldn't be against bringing back Pelche, Sear, and McKenna.
Yeah.
And then just having, you know, Ivanov and Forche and Grew figure it out on some
line. What a problem to have.
Like, I mean, you got to look at it that way. Yeah. Right? That's still not a bad line.
No. That's still a decent top six.
Yeah. Like. And, I mean, because, right, you really got to figure out chemistry. If McKenna's not going to put up points with Forche and Grew, I think
Grew is who he played with last game. Yeah,
it's, you got to figure something out. You can't, you know, if this keeps up, you got to worry about his confidence, and that's the last thing you need is, you know, one of your, you know, important parts of your team to, you know, to kind of lose focus in the game. So, I mean, I wouldn't be against putting, you know, Sear, Pelche, and McKenna together.
Or even getting Jeremy on the second power play line, where he's not playing against your top PK unit, and, you know, or move him down to the third line where he's not playing against top end defensemen and top end players, just to, for a game. It's not going to take him much. He's going to have those games where he can put two or three in the net and away we go, right?
You know, fortunately, he's always played strong against Halifax.
Yeah.
He's always played strong in Charlottetown because, you know, his family's going to be there. So these are, you know, hopefully some, you know, some rebound games, because I think that's the schedule for this weekend.
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yep. Yeah, coincidentally enough,
yeah.
Saturday here against Halifax and Sunday in Charlottetown.
All right. So, yeah, those are, you know, those are teams that, you know, he's played well. Both players have played well against. So hopefully they can turn the corner. Because, yeah, it's I'm starting to miss the Summerside sniper tweets from Craig Eagles.
Yeah. excuse me. Defensively, did you like McIsaac playing with Anderson? You think he's playing? You like that pair, even though Anderson and Stewart were pretty good together. I think all three pairings have actually made some chemistry, because there was a bit of worry with taking Stewart off Anderson's line, just being that steady defenseman.
I'm not going to worry about Sean Stewart right now. Yeah, he played well with Anderson, but you got to have your two best, you know, arguably your top defensemen, yeah, playing together. And I think it's been a perfect fit. Anderson has really come into like a groove. I think McIsaac kind of compliments him, and, you know, Anderson still makes those, you know, those odd defensive zone errors, but you know, McIsaac's there to back him up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what you need right now. And you know that Huntley Spence is, you know, not a bad couple, and then, you know, Stewart and Najong is not a bad couple. It's you know, this is, you have to wonder. I would love to kind of sit down one day and just, you know, go through the rosters from, you know, previous, you know, championship years and see how that defense would compare, because it's. Mm-hmm. Man, it looks good. They've clearly got that figured out. You know, it's. I think I had my. I said something on, I think, following that loss to, you know, Baycomo, I think it was. I mentioned something on Twitter that I had some different lines that I would have put together, and, you know, they still didn't put it together. And then, little did you know, they, you know, went in and smoked Cape Breton at home. So.
It works both ways. You make a bad line, they play, yeah, bad. You say you would change things, they play great to prove you wrong, right? He's looked really good on the power play, him and Anderson, on that second unit.
It's
like,
it looks,
that is
really good. But yeah, just getting back to those forwards, wouldn't be against putting the you know, Pelche and Sierra McKenna back together.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for this weekend, just to get both players going, really, because, yeah, it's clearly chemistry between those three is, you know, they've been playing together for 3 years, so they know each other well.
Yep.
And they're...
Maybe that gets both McKenna and Pelche going.
Well, you got to wonder, man. I mean, you could easily put Forche on the left side, Grew in the center, and Havanov on the right side. You know, those players seem to... I mean, it doesn't seem like they would have any issues playing with each other. Nope. I can't think of any issues what would, you know, of them playing together.
Nope.
It's something I would try out. Again, not
and
the
then
coach.
Pelche,
I'm just
Sear, McKenna.
Yeah, I'm just a guy talking into a microphone right now. but it just reminds me of a few years ago when, you know, they wanted to get some guys going, so they put the CCM line together, Sear, Capinelli, McKenna, just to get guys going.
Yeah.
And it worked. So, you know, it's a situation that, hey, Dan LaCroix, if you're listening, you know, maybe try it out. But
no doubt he's not listening.
Yeah.
I hope.
Come on.
Or Boyce.
Come on, Dan the man.
One of them's listening. All right, so, I mean, people are probably tired of listening to us talk about this team so far after the deadline. So we have a very special guest for everyone. We brought in an expert to have a quick chat with. He's the voice of your Moncton Wildcats on Rogers TV, Jerry Green. Jerry, how are you doing tonight?
That's quite an introduction, Adam.
Well, you deserve
it. Thanks. Real good.
So I guess my first question for you, we talked about a little bit in the show. The dust has settled on the trade deadline. The team was good coming in. They made moves to be great. In this small sample size, just what are your thoughts on this club moving forward?
Well, what can you say? I think the additions were made where they needed to be made. I thought forward-wise, I didn't see the Forche move coming. I thought, you know, after the Sean Element deal didn't fall into place, and I thought he'd be a great addition. He adds a number of dimensions to a team, not only in the scoring side, but I thought, well, where do they go from here? And so Forche came out of the, you know, came out of right field for me, and I'm telling you, I'm tremendously excited to watch him play. And you know, Adam and Jeremy, you don't see, I know we see Benoit Olivier Grew on a regular basis, but I don't really concentrate on him. And we don't see Forche that often. And when we do see him, you're concentrating more on your team than the other team. But having seen them now in Wildcat uniforms, both of them bring a tremendous intensity to the game. I never realized what kind of speed Forche has. Benoit Grew's an animal in the faceoff circle. He's tenacious. He's on every puck. I never saw that before when, you know, when the Wildcats played him or played the Mooseheads. So what I've seen from those two guys up front since they've had them has been a delight. I mean, I think getting far beyond what I thought we were getting with those guys. And, you know, statistically you look at them and you say, well, you know, those guys are going to bring some offense and some leadership, but they bring more than that. And that's what's been exciting for me so far and seeing what they do on the ice. And it was always talked about that, there needs to be, you know, some sort of enhancement besides Jared McIsaac on the blue line. Well, I thought the blue line, and you looked at the goals against, and it's a team statistic, I do believe, it was second best in the league. And so what were you going to do? I thought, you know, Axel Anderson, he's starting to find his way, and I really like the way that Sean Stewart's developed, and I've liked the leadership that Christian Huntley's been showing, and Tristan DeYoung now, what is this, his third year with the Wildcats now? Mm-hmm. He looks very calm and cool back there. So I thought, you know, yeah, they didn't add Jonathan Aspero. That was pie in the sky, whether or not they were going to get him or not. But I think the additions that they did make were tremendous. Jared McIsaac is a bona fide leader on the blue line, and I'm loving what I've seen in the last few weeks. And you know, we did the game against St. John on Friday, that 4-3 win, and I thought, oh my, you know, I want the Cats to really flex, you know, some more authority, if you would, or flex their offensive muscle a little bit more. And, so I switched on the game on Saturday night, and you know, down 3-0 in the first 10 minutes of the game. And I still thought what I saw was Cats all over the puck, Cats on every turn. Sea Dogs didn't have a chance to breathe, and then of course the end result, that 7-4 victory. And I saw everything I saw that night, despite I guess a few lapses defensively, and I thought some real good goals on Rodrigue in the early going, ones that he really didn't have a whole lot of chance on, but then he played better as the game went along. I thought what I saw on that night, if we see that on every night, and I know the opponent won't be the same every night, tremendous additions to the team that have really tweaked the lineup and has really made it a force to be reckoned with.
So I agree with just about everything you said there, to be honest with you. We kind of talked about the two games between the Sea Dogs, and this team was, as Neil has said in his last article, uncharacteristically, like, not very disciplined. And we kind of talked about, you know, Hovanov, and he's kind of, the switch seemed to be flipped that he was under control with Pelche, and he was doing really good. And all of a sudden, just coming back from the World Juniors, something's not like, do you know what would be the answer or what you've seen from him that?
Well, gentlemen, you know, it is his first exposure to Dan Lacroix, let's say. And maybe he's trying to make an impression with him, and showing that he's intense and that he wants to back up his teammates. He wants to be a guy that can rely on. But on the other hand, yes, the initial confrontation in the game on Friday that put him off the edge and got him off the ice for 10 minutes, we do not and absolutely do not need that kind of stuff. But he's always been, and as you say, and you've seen all the games, Adam, he's always kind of a little bit on the edge, and teams can get under his skin. Specifically, Halifax could always get under his skin. He has a really dislike for Halifax, I think. But I think
Don't
St.
We
John's
all?
Starting to be like that for him too. I think St. John's starting to be like that for him too. And I think you know, he didn't like the fact he was pushed, and maybe there was some. It certainly appeared there were some liberties being taken in the game in St. John. I thought the referee let a little bit go, and it started to heat up a little bit more, and so maybe some more penalties. But overall, the Moncton Wildcats still only second in the league with fewest amount of penalty minutes. And I know this is a little blip in the radar here, mm-hmm. that they had a few in this rivalry, but it is a rivalry, and sometimes it boils over. And yeah, coming back from, and specifically Ivanov, coming back from the World Junior Championships, I think, you know, he's getting accustomed to his new surroundings, because there is a lot of new surroundings. He's got some different line mates that he didn't have when he left, and he's got a new coach. So, you know, it's there's a lot to adjust to. So I'll cut him some slack for sure.
Yeah.
So we look at, obviously, the trade deadline's passed, and you look at what's on paper, you know, for this season. But if you want to look back, you know, at the previous, you know, President's Cup years, you know, 06 and 2010, what are some of the similarities that you see in those rosters? And you know, is there a specific, I guess, position on this year's team that you feel may have a leg up on, you know, the 06 team or the 2010 team?
That's a real good question. Down the middle, you can see we're solid down the middle. The Wildcats are solid down the middle, whether whoever plays the fourth line center or not. I think Jacob Hudson deserves to be up in the top nine there somewhere, and I think he can slot in there on the wing, though, because I think you really still need to have, you know, Sear, Grew, and Havanoff down the middle. I think that's – and then you interchange. And again, I saw an article of Niels or wherever I read it, something about – and I've always had the philosophy – I still want to leave. I want to leave Sear and McKenna together. I want to leave Havanoff and Pelche together, and then let's, you know, give Grew some line mates, which could be Forche. Put him and Forche together, and then find your other three wingers that you're going to use, and that can be Desnoyers, it can be LaRue, it can be Hudson, it could be, you know, if Liam Leonard is going to jump into open ice and score game winners again, maybe you move him up in the top nine. You know, it's hard to predict. But I really like keeping twosomes together, and I think since they've both arrived, Grew and Forche, they've been predominantly together most of the time. So, but I really and maybe that is part of the discussion about why Jeremy McKenna only has one goal in his last 12 games. Well, maybe because he's not with Mika Sear all that time, and he's adjusting to new line mates. Maybe that's a possibility. But I like the familiarity that, you know, the four guys that were there before the trades were made, specifically Ivanov, Pelche, Sear, and McKenna. I would really prefer to have those twosomes stay together and then interchange who you're going to put on their wing. But reflecting back on 2010, I was looking at some numbers and about the trades that were made by the Wildcat staff at that time, which I think would have been Danny Flynn. Yeah, it would have been Danny Flynn, wouldn't it? 2010?
Yes.
I think it was in 2010. And that was the 2010. That was the year that...
Yeah, Danny Flynn. Yeah, Danny Flynn.
The Sea Dogs and the Wildcats played in the final, the first ever Maritime final in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And don't you think the folks in Quebec, the president of Quebec, Major Junior Hockey League, didn't like that too much. But that's one of the things we joked about back in 2010. It was the first time that happened. Of course, Sea Dogs won it next year after that. So you had a maritime run of sorts, and you still do have kind of a maritime run or a Q run for the Memorial Cup and for the President's Cup. But back then, let me get back to what I was going to tell you. Nicolas Deschamps and Gabriel Bork were brought in, and Kelsey Tessier. They were the three main guys up front that they acquired in similar situations. Deschamps came from Chicoutimi and was an offensive guy. Kelsey Tessier was leading the Quebec Ramparts in scoring, and he's a maritime guy. And then they brought Gabriel Bork in from Baie-Comeau. So there's some similarities to the additions that were made and where they slotted themselves in. I don't recall if there was anything enhanced on the blue line, and I could be wrong on that. I think, you know what, that particular year, I think Andrew McDonald was brought up from Junior A as maybe a sixth defenseman. But other than that, they had a solid core there that included Barbario and David Savard, which were, and Brandon Gormley. So they had a pretty solid crew back in the blue line. All the enhancements were made up front. So I see some similarities from 2010 to let's call it 2020. Let's call it that, because it was a 2010 championship. It was the 2009-2010 season.
Yeah,
I think they. I think that year they brought in. Wasn't it Spencer Metcalf and Alex Wall?
Sounds familiar, yes.
Yeah, I think
again, those were just like what they've done with Ryan McClellan.
Right.
Same sort of, some insurance on the blue line and that, you know, to have the insurance policy in case somebody does get injured, you have quality players like that. And those were good role defensive type players, and you left the offense up to, you know, Savard and Gormley and Barbario at that time. So, yeah, there are some similarities. I do see, you know, on the offensive side for Moncton, I see Jared McIsaac being dangerous. I certainly see. Have you watched Jordan Spence lately? He is in on every rush. He jumps into the play every chance he gets. He's deep into the corners. He's pinching properly. He's putting some points up here in the last 10 games. And that's not something we saw from him, you know, in the first 35 games. He seemed like he was more stay at home and taking care of his end of the ice. But offensively, he's starting to really flex muscle, I guess, if you would. And I've been really impressed with his instincts, both offensively and defensively. Pinching at the right time, breaking up plays in the neutral zone, and jumping in and being part of the offense. He's really starting to be a number one guy for me. He's really starting to be a guy that I want on the ice as much as possible.
It's kind of reminiscent of last year. We brought in Antilainen, a veteran defenseman, an offensive type defenseman, and Spence really took off in that second half of the year, and now he's playing with Huntley, a veteran 20-year-old offensive type defenseman, and Spence is kind of being allowed to take on that offensive role with a veteran defender with him, right? He couldn't do that maybe with Axel Anderson, because Anderson was learning the Q game. So I brought you in as our expert, and it makes us feel good when you have the same line combinations putting together as we just talked about before having you on. So makes us seem smarter when we have the expert like you.
We didn't compare notes
at all.
No,
we did not. I guess the last question for me, not many at the time number two teams in the country move on from head coaches, and we won't get into the semantics of that, but we've got 10 games now with Dan Lacroix. Are the Wildcats getting back to the defensive structure that they were playing with when they were on that, you know, great role early in the season before their little stumble through all the distractions, or is he putting his own little stamp on this, not trying to change too much, do you think?
Well, how do you as a coach come in 35 games in, you have to agree the formula and the relationship with Torchetti and his players was good.
Yep.
And what he had in place, the teaching that he was doing was good. And I saw it after the in the 2006-07 season when he was here, how well they players loved to talk to him, loved to hear what he had to say. He had that experience that would help them propel to the next level. He knows, shows them how to do good board work. He was big on board work. He's big on intensity. You can't unteach that. Those players should still hold on to that and don't deviate from it. But I don't know how, as a coach, boys, how he can come in and change a whole lot. You know, he has a Ryan Selvis and Boyce there to maybe talk about what Torchetti had implemented, and you know, the proof's in the pudding. He was successful. I mean, they were scoring, they were playing defense, and they lost, you know, three games or five games under his supervision. So, and Dan's been exposed to the NHL level. He knows systems, and he knows structure and what makes a player better and what makes them going to go on to the next level or to the next level from this. So I'd have to think there's a little bit of tweaking going on. What I did notice, though, recently, gentlemen, I always do a little bit of, well, actually, I do a lot of research before every game. I went back to the, what is it now, 13 games under Dan? What are they, 7-7? And what's the record under Dan Lacroix? I think it was, is it 6-4 now or 7-5?
7-5, I think.
Is it 7? Let's say he's got 13 games or 12 or 13 yeah. games under his belt. And I went back to go through those games that he's been there. Again, when he comes to town, what does he have? He's got his first game against Charlottetown. They win 3-2.
Yep.
Then they go to Halifax. They win there, but then they get, you know, they get a spoonful of reality in Cape
yeah.
Breton and lose
yeah.
5-0. You know, but in those games, I noticed their penalty killing was huge. It was like 95% in the game since Dan's been there.
Mm-hmm.
But the power play was down like 15-16%. And so I thought, well, okay, they're coming up with a new style. And if you've noticed, I don't see McKenna in his office as much as I used to on that first power play unit. They have him standing out in front of the net. I think his strength is, and again, I'm not a coach, but the numbers bear the truth. When he's in his office and Havanov gets him that puck over there, you know, you got a 60% chance he's going to put it in. So
yep.
Maybe that's a little adjustment they've made on the power play that's been somewhat of an effect. But to get back to your question, it's really hard, I think, for Dan to come in at this point. It must be hugely challenging. But maybe going with what the guys who were there tell him what was implemented and how they were teaching. And letting it flow from there, maybe seeing another 10 games go by before if he wants to make any changes what was previously put in place.
Yeah, this has been a good month for him to do that because they've had a week off in a game and then 4 days in a game and now a week off in a game. So,
oh, hasn't it been perfect?
It's yeah,
been perfect.
If you're going to do it, that was the time to make whatever move was made for whatever reason. But
and also a good chance for the players to get to know each other.
Yep. Yep.
You know, it was. So you're not on the road. Yes, you're not living and eating and drinking and sleeping together and hockey together, as the intensity of, or that relationship, level gets turned up when you're on the road. But here, they're still at the rink. I'm sure they're at the rink every day, practicing every day. So still getting to know each other, maybe, you know, eating together at the same time at the rink. But I think they got a road trip coming up. I don't think it's in Quebec until late February.
7th, 8th, and 9th. Blainville, Shawinigan, and Quebec.
Good. So that'll be a good chance for them, too. And I think it's actually probably perfect timing for them to go back on to the road and be away from the city for 5 days. But
yep.
But I think, yes, I think, as you say, the schedule's been perfect in regards to having a week off. They played Saturday night in St. John. Don't play till Saturday night. And the week before that, they had the prospects game, so they had a nice long week there. So yeah, it seems real good for them to build what they've got there, and I think they've got a tremendous amount of talent.
All right, so I'll wrap it up here, Jerry, with one last question. I tend to ask this to I guess we had Tim on the show earlier this season, and you've obviously been calling games for a few years, I guess I could say that. What's your most memorable goal call that you personally have had the opportunity to call?
Oh, that's a good one. The
I do like the McKenna McScores. That's always a good one. And now McIsaac McScores, but I don't think that's what Jeremy's.
I slipped.
It worked. I don't think Jeremy's going with that one. So.
Yeah, I slipped that one in there a little bit. If you're talking about a memorable goal in an important game, in an important series, you know, there was a series not too long ago of which the Wildcats couldn't play at the Coliseum. This wasn't too long ago. They had to go to Fredericton. Garland, Barbario were the, or Garland and Barbashev were the leaders, and they were playing the Timo Myers and the place for the Jets.
Ehlers.
Yeah. Ehlers. They were leading Halifax. And the series, if you remember, was back and forth. Halifax won first two in Moncton. And we thought, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen here? Got to go to Halifax now. Moncton goes to Halifax, wins the next two. Game five is in Fredericton. Still no ice in Moncton. Hmm. And I remember the night, it was, and Zach McEwen was playing on the line with Barbashev and with Garland. I think Garland had six assists. Barbashev had five goals. McEwen had 4 points. And at that time, when Zach McEwen was brought up from junior A by the Wildcats, I said, this guy's something special. He jumps into open ice. He's tenacious in the corners. He keeps up with these two, and he's smart. And I said, this is a great line. And anyways, that night, he ended up 9-3, and there was a lot of Zach attacks, and there was a lot of, you know, but Barbashev and Garland were all over the place. It was a memorable night. Wildcats went on to win that game and the series. I still think it went to seven. And that stands out for me as a tremendous. And in the Aiken Center, the broadcast area is up near the top of the roof, but you're right over top of the ice. And you didn't even need a program. You didn't need a program at that point, five games into the series anyways. Hmm. But you could read the names on the jerseys. You were so close. That particular night stands out for me of recent memory. But of course, going back to 2010, with all the star power that was on the ice, a lot of it's playing in the NHL now. St. John Sea Dogs had Mike Hoffman in their lineup. They had Jonathan Huberdeau was in his rookie year. You had Stanislav and a lot of good players in St. John. Of course, St. John won it the next year. That night stands out to me, too, because it was in the Coliseum, and it was game six, and it had to be 95 degrees.
Oh, it was awful.
The broadcast area of the Coliseum, and we were up there doing it. We were doing it for Rogers TV because we were doing – every game was on Rogers TV. We had our crew in Moncton, and then we had Aaron Kennedy's crew and them in St. John. So every game of that series, everybody in New Brunswick could have watched it on Rogers TV. So, but the intensity of the heat, and I can't imagine what it was like on the ice. That certainly, that particular night stands out for me too.
Yeah, I've been told the stories of the home openers in the fog and the building that got really, really hot come playoff time near the end of the year. But we could do a whole show.
I don't remember any of that now because of the beautiful facility that the Wildcats get to play in now.
The Jerry Green broadcast booth up there?
No, it's not been labeled yet.
Yeah, that's the key word. We could have you on for a whole show. Next time we get you on, we'll get into the ins and outs of what it's like to have what it's truly like to have Chris Dobson as your wingman.
That could be a whole show.
Jerry, we really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with us, and we'll see you around the rink for what should be a very exciting second half.
It should be, gentlemen. Keep up the good work, and anytime you know where to find me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
Man, we could. Like I said, we could fill a whole episode on Chris Dobson, right?
Oh, I wonder what it's like to actually work with Chris Dobson. You know, the dream would be to get called up to Rogers TV, Adam and Jeremy.
Oh. Yeah, I forgot to hang up the phone.
Adam and Jeremy in the broadcast booth for Rogers TV.
Oh.
I don't know who'd get the. I think I'd probably take the color.
Thanks.
You want to do play-by-play?
I guess so, yeah. If you're taking color, I guess I'd have to. I think
I think color is more like, it's one of those ones where you can, you got to be quick on your feet and have those one line jokes, and I think it'd be kind of fits me perfectly. But I'd probably do play by play.
It would be must see. But we could trade off.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It'd be one of those things where it's like, I'll do the first period, you do the second period, blah, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But it feels good when the experts agree with what you say, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to figure something out. Whether it's, you know, putting, you know, Sear and Palche and McKenna back together for, you know, a couple games, and I mean, I doubt it happens. We've made several suggestions on this show before, and you know, it's never came true. So. Sometimes it has, but
not lineups. I'll tell you that much. Not lineups.
No, not lineups. you never know. It's we could look like geniuses this weekend if it comes true. So, we'll see how that works out.
All right, fans know what they love it.
Eric Murray Realty, buy a house from him.
Stick tap of the week.
So this should obviously come as no surprise. A restaurant I've been hyping up ever since, you know, they announced it was coming to Moncton.
I want to say last year.
Probably.
Like, it was, like, not 2019, like last hockey season. We kind of like early, yeah. Late in the year, I think.
It was obviously IHOP. It opened up last Tuesday, and I've been about three times now. Yeah. So
have you had three different things, or have you gone back to your, like, oh, I had that, it was great the first time, go back to it? Have you had three different?
No, you got to switch it up.
Yeah.
First time I went, I had omelet with Colorado omelet, which literally just gives you some meat sweats. and it's man, their omelets are crazy. It's literally as if you're eating a foot long sub from Subway.
Right.
It's that long. And, you know, I had some pancakes on the side and the cupcake pancakes, and I think they're called. This restaurant's really, really, it's really going to work well in Moncton, I think. It's been a huge success so far. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, highly recommend it. Food's really good. Service is really good, too. And obviously, it's a new restaurant. You know, it's going to have its hiccups. Mm-hmm. Probably going to wait a while. You know, I got in this morning right away, but you know, on a Saturday, Sunday morning, you're probably going to wait a half an hour, but it's well worth it. Prices are great. And, it's in a great spot. You know, it's the bustling North End that seems to be, where everything's going right now. And it's going to work really, really good. So yeah, obviously IHOP is the stick tap of the week.
The stick tap of the week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with the RE/MAX Avante team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton or surrounding area, make sure to check him out on social media or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
And, the check from behind of the week.
Can't do that!
Is the Burger Fest.
check from behind.
The illegal check to the head.
This podcast does not endorse illegal checks from behind or illegal checks to the head.
Yeah, the check to the head.
Can't do that!
The check to the head of the week is the Burger Fest and some of the participating restaurants for their just terrible, terrible looking burgers and sounding burgers and whatever it is that you've decided to put on a plate to somehow enter Burger Fest.
I love when new segments just come together. Just it's just perfect. And as soon as I have the exact voiceover for that, so that's gonna be fantastic. Well, the Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week. It was pretty easy. I will again. It was an early trend early in the year, but I've gone away from it a little bit. But it's hard to argue with the Wildcats. Bo grew. 3 goals, 5 assists for 8 points in the 4 games these past couple weeks. He was going to be my cat of the week last week. And then it just made it that much easier when he had a dynamic home-and-home series with St. John. He's 66% of the faceoffs, like Jerry talked about. He's just, there's nothing he literally can't do. Complete 200-foot player, quarterback of the power play. He just, there's nothing he can't do. And, yeah, he's the Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week. So that's it for the show, man. That is it. Thanks again for listening, downloading. Stay tuned. We're going to have some tickets to give away to the February 19th game against Rimouski. It's one of the most anticipated games, probably the second half, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
hopefully Lafreniere plays like he did in that game against Bathurst Friday night. Was it Friday night?
Where yeah, really, they got beat.
That was quite an upset. I don't know where that or that you know, Bathurst win over Rimouski sits in terms of that Bathurst win over Moncton. Is it, I mean, at that time I think it was probably the upset of the CHL. I don't know where that, you know, where Rimouski's loss kind of fits in now, if it's more of an upset
because it's after the winter, it's after the trade period. Yeah, so they've right. got their players,
they've
right?
got their full roster, so it's be interesting if the you know, where that ranks in terms of, you know, obviously it's two more months of the season, but you know, I don't think I didn't pay attention to who's ranked in who's ranked 60th in the
Swift Current.
So Swift Current.
Yeah.
So you know, if Swift Curtain.
That's a perfect name for a team that's ranked 60th in Dave McKnight's Swift, top 12.
The Swift Current. The Swift.
You can't even remember.
Swift Curtain Broncos somehow managed to beat the Portland Winterhawks. We might have a more a bigger that might upset. Be the bigger CHL upset.
And that included
of the year.
Colton Ellis playing that game and and only playing the first two periods. So get out to the rink on Saturday. Get your tickets. It's the Greater Moncton SPCA night. So bring pet food in support of the local SPCA. Plus, we know that Halifax is bringing a bus down. So, you know, last year they were winning and they were loud. So I don't doubt that they'll be there to support their team. And let's not let them be louder than, you know, 40 people be louder than everyone at the Avenir Center. So let's fill that rink. As well, stay tuned the next couple of weeks. We got a bit of a fun fundraiser that we might be teasing out and seeing if we can get it off the ground. Obviously, I'm going to take this time to try and get through this. I just want to thank every single person that reached out via message, phone call, Twitter DM, Instagram DM, any Facebook Messenger. The funeral was yesterday for Riker. The people that were there, I thank you for showing up. It's obviously funerals are never fun, and for a kid is a thousand times tougher. You know, Kim and Brent DeBorn, I want to thank them for everything they did. You guys probably saw the videos. I was able to go down and meet the guys after the win against St. John. And, so I want to thank Richie Thibault, Mr. Irving, the whole Wildcats organization for allowing me to have that with my family. To our families who were here, shedding some light through one of the darkest periods that that any parent will ever go through. We can never repay all of you for showing us love and support, but we just, on behalf of Layla and myself, we thank you for everything. And I've said it a few times, and I'll continue to say it forever. Maritime hospitality is not just a saying, it's a way of life out here. So again, on behalf of Layla, myself, and all of our families, thank you for all your support in this very, very difficult time. And I'll see you next week.
Talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be here.
All right, and I'll see all these people. These people will hear us all next week. So
you know what we're going to do next week?
What's that?
This is what we're going to do. So we're going to do a live food review.
Okay.
So we're going to order hashtag not a sponsor, skip the dishes.
Okay.
I'll pick up the tab.
Okay.
And Yeah, we'll basically eat our food while we're recording and do a live food review of one of the random restaurants in town that is part of Skip the Dishes. I think it's a great idea.
I do. I think
just because I got hungry with all the food talk tonight. So,
and people love your food take. Yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah. So,
let's grab some burgers and some wings. And yeah, it's Adam and Jeremy's expertfoodcritic.com.
While watching Moncton, Cape Breton. Next Tuesday. That'll be fun. The 28th. So we'll watch the game. We'll watch the game. We'll have some food. We'll do the show. It'll be just like you're down here in the studio with us.
Yeah.
Thank you for all your support through all of this. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.